Blog Talk Radio.
This morning. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. And I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder of locker-report.com. You can always reach me through my email at barrybarnes@locker-report.com or on Twitter at locker_report or my personal page, 2bsports, or on Instagram at Locker Report 100. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I feel like I haven't talked to y'all guys in years, but just fresh off coming back from Tampa with the workouts with the NFL, primarily with the NFL football operations, where we looked at some more talented players for the upcoming 2018 season. Now, my name is Barry Barnes. I'm your host. I'm just going to give you a brief rundown of what we're going to talk about today, what we're going to discuss on air today, and about this show. Again, if you're first time listening to this show, I'm going to give you pretty much the news within the NFL news within the NFL, pretty much talk about tomorrow's NFL news and stars today, talk about a whole bunch of guys that you have not heard of, but I guarantee that within a year or two when you see their names on NFL Network or seeing players from small schools making major headlines in the NFL, I promise you that it will come to your remembrance that, hey, Locker talked about this guy a couple of years ago, so you will not be surprised. Now, just to give you a heads up of what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about where I was at, what the workouts were, who we worked out at the NFL first, NFL Regional Combine Invitational. They kind of revamped it this year to an Invitational where it was less players, but it was more quality players. Also, we'll talk about the international players they attended and talk to you briefly about a system that the NFL is partnered with the UK called the International Player Pathway Program. Now, I'll talk a little bit about that. And also the NFL Pro Player Combine, give you a little breakdown of that. Pretty much going to focus on that on the second half of the show after our break. And then I'm going to close out with a serious gripe that I have with advisors out there that work with players that's trying to get into the NFL. I would say the biggest disgrace of the workout. And I'm going to break that down. I know this is a family show, and I'm looking forward to pissing some people off this morning. So this is how we're going to start your Friday and how we're going to start your weekend. Now, okay, let's get to the matter of business here. The NFL Regional Combine Invitational. And I'm going to pretty much talk about the offensive and the defensive players that were there. And if you're not familiar with the NFL Regional Combine, since 2012, the NFL had invested into this platform to target small school guys and some guys that may have come from major programs that may have fell off the radar because of injuries or scheme, whatever. They try to get into the good graces of the NFL. So they laid out this platform for these guys to actually come to the scouts instead of the scouts trying to go to every small school in the country. These talented players will register, get before NFL teams, get videotaped where all 32 teams in the league can see their workout. They get a shot in the NFL, and we have several guys in the league right now that had came through there, and some of the big names like the Adam Thielens of the world, Johnny Hecklers, who the punter for the Rams, Jatavis Brown, middle linebacker for the Chargers, Alarindo Winona-Raver, left tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the list goes on and on. And to add to that list, doing a free agent watch, a couple of guys that just got signed with new clubs that came through the regional combine, and safety Chad Davis, who was 5 years after he came through the regional combine in 2013, signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars a couple of weeks ago, signed with those guys. The terms of the deal is not disclosed, but he's a safety who's pretty much was an ace on special teams. And he said that he's looking to come to Jacksonville and make that special teams elite to go along to accompany what they have on the defense side of the ball and what they're working towards on the offense side of the ball. Also, you have a Brandon Copeland, who's near the Baltimore area where I'm from, who signed with the Jets. He came through the regional combine in 2013, worked out at the first and only veterans combine, got back into the NFL, been with the Lions for the past 3 years. He just signed with the Jets, so it's good to see that he's back on the roster after having an injury that sidelined him for the whole entire season last season during week two of the preseason matchup that the Lions had. And Julian Stafford, who's another linebacker, more of a hybrid linebacker, who bounced around, went through the regional combine in 2014, was with the Jets for the last couple. He was with the Lions at one time, with the Jets for the last 2 years, and he just signed with the Buffalo Bills. Now, for the guys that's who's looking to try to do the same thing and duplicate what these guys have done in the regional combine to get to the NFL, that's going to talk about, you know, some of the guys that have stood out for me. And I'll start with the defense. I would say, for the defense, there was a guy named Zakiya Brown, who went to a small school himself, had a solid workout. Brown had attended, as I'm going through my notes here, Mr. Brown, I'll come back to that later. But what Mr. Brown was able to do this workout, he was able to show great speed while he was there. He's a big safety, you know, coming from West Georgia, a program that's actually not too long ago just got started. But coming through that program, he showed good hands, showed a lot of strength, very aggressive, and one of the best things I like for someone his size, who's about 5'11", he showed that he have a good ability to track the ball, which is really big and key for the defensive back to watch out for those deep balls that quarterbacks may overthrow to a wide receiver that a defensive back can probably make a play on to get to the ball, or also at the same time keep up with a wide receiver who's very fast, like Antonio Brown. Not saying he's just as fast as Antonio Brown, but you have the sense of a defensive back that can somewhat keep up with a guy like that, and you never know what may happen in that situation. So he fits that mold there. You have a Daquez Broner, who had came on from Jacksonville State. He had a good workout. He's standing about 5'8", you know, had a decent run time. Not the fastest in the world, but he do have good instincts. Reggie Hall was another big corner, you know, coming from Jacksonville State as well. He was actually ranked in the country at number 77 out of 209 defensive backs. Reggie Hall, who's, I would say, he's very calculated. Watching him doing his workouts, he was on the side, you know, going through his routine, so to speak, to get ready for his basic drills before he got to his individual drills. He don't have the greatest hands out there, but that's why he played on the defense. That's why most guys on the defense side of the ball play, because they don't have the best hands. But I'm going to get to some guys who really stood out for me the most, and I would definitely talk about Tyron Holloway. Mr. Holloway, he comes from Western Illinois. He actually transferred from Liberty University, and he only played at 1 year at Western Illinois. This kid has great hands. I tell you, he's one of those guys on the defense side of the ball, whoever he may sign. He's going to show that he can catch the ball. He has great speed, great footwork, great technique. He was pretty much fluent in all his workouts. And then you have a guy named Mike Cesaroy. Cesaro, who also comes from a smaller school. But he stands about, you know, 5'11", really good, came from Adams State. Now, this kid here, he's pretty much one of those flawless guys, too. He didn't drop a ball, showed great technique, good footwork, turn his hips very well, and he do show that he don't mind getting in the trenches a little bit, you know, and making hits. But Holloway, the guy who I mentioned prior to that, he's very physical. He had 103 tackles last year, 7 deceptions, and he had 12 breakups. So he put in a lot of work at that short time when he was at Western Illinois. You have a guy named Nicholas Dietrich that went to South Florida. He was pretty good, you know, he's a little shorter, but he had great leaping ability. On the defensive line, I love this guy, Mike Love. South Florida as well. Very aggressive, very strong, very balanced coming off the edge. He really showed that he can get to the passer. Then you have Donnie Alexander Jr., who went to LSU. Kind of fell off of the map a little bit, but pretty much had his best year as a senior when he had 51 tackles. But he did have an injury, but he looked sharp and ready to go at the workout. So he was one of those guys that actually stood out also on the defense side of the ball. Now we have a guy named Mason Gentry, who actually played on the defense side of the ball and the offense side of the ball. They worked him out on the defense side of the line and the offense side of the line. Really showed a lot of technique for a guy who primarily played defense, but really can show that he's versatile enough to go on the offense side of the ball. So as far as the defense side, this is what, you know, with the guys that stood out. There were several others. You can go and follow me at locker-report.com, where I will feature team needs. There's a bunch of players who I may not mention in the show, but did well enough for me to recognize them as a good fit that they would be at on the NFL club. And so that's far as on the defense side of the ball. On the offense side of the ball, I was going to start right up from the top. You know, the person that jumped out and had the best workout was Mr. Ricky Pro's son, Austin Pro. Ricky Pro's a 17-year vet that played in the NFL, had some time with the Carolina Panthers. But his son, Austin Pro, was outstanding. He ran very well, caught everything, showed that he's a great route runner, and catch the deep ball, showing that he can be one of those slot receivers that's a little short, undersized, that can actually get to the ball. But and also then you have another gentleman that went to Lambstone College. His name is Vincent Smith, 6'1", 180 pounds. He showed that he had the best route running ability there. He was flawless, very concentrated on the ball, never took his eyes off the ball, only dropped one pass, and that was just sort of a bad pass. But he was phenomenal in that workout as well. Well, what I'm about to do now, I'm about to take a little break, and I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about the rest of the players there and move on to the rest of the topics I talked about. Thank you.
Hi, this is L.A. Batchelor thanking Exceptional Service Home Care Agency for being a partner, an advertising partner, on the Batchelor Pad. Exceptional Service Home Care Agency taking care of your loved ones in all phases in many counties in the state of North Carolina. For more information, you can go to 919-225-0538, 919-225-0538, or visit them on their website at exceptionalservicehca.com.
And we're back. Thank you again for tuning in. You are listening to the Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder of locker-report.com. Always give me a look at the site of who we talk about, fossil players under the radar that have come through the NFL football operations platform of the NFL Regional Combine. This year they had a NFL Regional Combine Invitational, and I was just talking about some of the players there. Let me get back to you a couple of the names. A player that stood out from Houston. They have a big receiver named Stephen Dunbar Jr., very big, very strong, who had blow-by speed, I would say. He runs a good route, but he's one of those receivers that if he can't blow by you, he's just going to simply just run right over you. He showed that throughout his collegiate career. He showed how balanced and controlled he was when he was at the workouts, so he's someone to look out for as well. Now for my HBCU school, just one offensive guy, one guy total that attended the workout. He was on the offense side of the ball. And his name is Jarwell Davis. Went to Bethune Cookman. Wide receiver, pretty much was a special teams guy. Whatever that the school needed him to be, he was there as that energy guy. Didn't really have the best passer at his college. The scouts wanted to see how he would do with a better throwers of the ball. And he performed a decent workout while he was there as well. Showed a lot of explosiveness, very quick, very fast, very fundamentally sound. Try not to hope that he doesn't, you know, he graduate to the point of catching the ball consistently with his hand. That's the only thing. When you're there with the NFL scouts, which the NFL was represented by full force with all the teams there in attendance, and there was some pro personnel members of certain teams in the stands watching these talented guys too. So the NFL, all 32 teams, was plugged in to this workout and this session. So it was really great to see that, especially for small school guys that's looking to try to get to the next level. Okay, now, as far as the quarterbacks, there was a guy named Peter Petrelli who went to Holy Cross. Now, as far as all the quarterbacks that were there, he was the best one. Then you have Alex McGirth, who went to Florida International University. Battled back from a broken collarbone during the latter part of the season. He looked really good, stood tall in the pocket, very athletic, and throw the ball in the run. It was really good to see how he's actually 100% and how he's out there throwing the ball as crisp as he was before, prior to him getting hurt. Then you had a guy named Max Brown, who went to Pennsylvania, who transferred from USC. Reason why he transferred from USC to go to Pittsburgh, because he was not going to get no playing time behind Sam Donaldson. So he was able to go to Pittsburgh, finished out his collegiate career, and he actually had a decent workout there. On the offensive line, Tony Adams, who went to North Carolina State University, who was a four-year starter, very balanced, very much in control, and played pretty much any position on the offensive line. That's how he was able to sustain a good career. When he was at North Carolina State, never been injured. They wanted him to come. The scouts wanted to see what he was able to do, because he is about a 6'1", 6'2", height, but he still put on a solid performance while he was there. So that was, a good showing for him as an offensive lineman. And then there was also another wide receiver that was there that actually had went to Purdue. Very calculated guy. His name is Anthony Mahonagolo. He went to Purdue, actually from a French background, tall receiver, he did not drop one pass, always run with a high stride, back always straight up. He had great form, great technique, great posture as a wide receiver, great hands. So I definitely would like to see some of these guys who I mentioned that will actually get, noticed and probably even get drafted. But definitely was to receive that phone call. Oh, yeah, I did almost forget. There's one particular two other linebackers. Joe Osmond, who went to Central Michigan University. I tell you, he was a sack leader. He led the FBS in sacks in this whole entire country. He had a wrestling background. This guy is very solid. He can show that he can drop back in coverage. He can catch the ball very well. He had great balance coming off the edge. Very strong, quick first step. And then you want to slide in a guy named Pat Eifertley, who went to Colgate University. Now, this guy here, I tell you, he's going to be something else. He's going to be special. Linebacker, he's actually a defensive end that could probably be more of a tweener. He's about 6'2", very quick off the edge, great hands, very strong. He can even – he don't look like the type of player that can bull rush, but he do have that technique there. But he will beat – pass a lot of offensive linemen. When he get in that right system and understand that technique a little better, this guy's going to be ferocious. And like I said, these guys, follow me all the way up at locker-report.com with a draft that begins on April the 26th. Most of these guys, all these guys who I'm talking about, watch out for them on the third day, on that Saturday, on the 28th. Some of these guys will get their name called. Some of these guys will get drafted. But I'm definitely for sure that these guys will get targeted right after the draft, because the talent is out there. Now, I did mention but the international players that were there. International players, the NFL football operations in the UK, as for football, they partnered up last year to create the International Player Pathway Program, where they would put out certain players who show they can translate from their sport of rugby over to the NFL caliber player. Last year they had four players that came through the process, two of them by which came through the NFL regional combine. This year there were five, and there was one particular foreign player who's a tight end who was actually drafted by the Vikings in 2016, and his name is Marek Boringer. He's about 6'3". I tell you, this guy runs like a deer. You can tell that he has some NFL background, because he really showed the type of technique to be a solid tight end in the NFL. He really showed off in that workout. And then you have another young man who's 24 years old, 6'9", 269 pounds, trying him out as a tight end. And his name is Christian Scotland Williamson, who just actually retired. It kind of broke the heart of the Englanders that that was into rugby, because he was an upcoming star. And when he decided to move forward and try to give the NFL a shot, it kind of messed up a whole bunch of, you know, fans there that wanted to see this guy grow to the level of a star caliber player in that sport. So that was one of the guys that had came out and showed out pretty much there. Now, again, this is Barry Bonds, founder of Locker-Report.com. You're listening to Locker Talk right now, radio, as we are now listening through the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. So that's what we what you're hearing right now. Then I'm going to move over to the Pro Player Combine, where the Pro Player Combine is players that were in the NFL in the past 2 years but was on someone's roster the year before. And the cool part about this, there were several players there from the NFL Regional Combine the last couple of years that were in the NFL, came back through the Pro Player to get back on the good graces of the NFL to get back into the league. So it was really good to see, you know, several players there that I was familiar with, who Lock Report helped to promote during the time when it was working out, how they was actually able to get into the league and to always see those guys come back happy, and then at the same time happy to see, you know, myself, and, you know, giving me a, you know, some compliments and some kind words. Really shows that what I'm doing with Lock Report definitely have a purpose and a great mission. So it's very humbling to run across that. Now, before I talk about a couple of the guys there for the Pro Player, I know someone asked about, sent a message about the top offense and defensive players, defensive line, the guys who play the front line of the HBCU schools that could be on the radar and getting drafted in this year's draft. One of the top person that always comes to my mind is the linebacker from South Carolina State, Mr. Darius Leonard. That guy, he's a player. He's a baller. He had 114 tackles last year. That was insane. Eight tackles for loss. That was really funny to see how he was able to come about and dominate the way he deal in level. Everyone know about Brandon Parker, pretty much from North Carolina A&T. Did not have the best workout at the at the scouting combine, but I think teams are going to look at it and still say, okay, well, you know, he's definitely a work in progress. We've seen many a times a player who was in work in progress that actually did well with the NFL over the time. So hopefully they can get themselves, you know, get some team would give him that chance to really show what he can do. Then you have a guy named Victor Tomba Jr., who went to Bowie State University. He's an offensive guard. He's a guy to watch out for. Someone probably in the later rounds who will get that immediate phone call. You know, he's very, very good in pass protection. That's where he excels at. And since this is a league that actually now transcended towards a passing league, you definitely want to have those gems on the offensive line that can pass protect. So he's someone I would like to see get his name called, and some of those guys, the names I mentioned, look out for them at least on the third day of the draft, or hopefully the second day. We never know what may happen. But for the HBCU on the defense and the offensive line, there are some guys who I would say to look out for. Now, just to mention, there's a couple of guys from the Pro Player. You have a guy named Jamal Johnson, who's a wide receiver who has spent some time with the Seattle Seahawks. He actually played at Alabama State. You know, he came out, had a good one. Then you have a guy named Kevin Snead, who's all speed. And at the regional, he posted four threes all across the board. I'm quite sure he did the same thing. He had the Pro Player. He came from Carson Newman University. He was a defensive back for the longest time, but towards his senior year in college, they transferred him over to the offense side of the ball. And he struggled a little bit with catching the ball. He was with the New York Giants for a short period of time. He caught the ball a lot better at the Pro Player Combine, so I'm looking to see if someone's going to give him another shot there. Another guy comes from Georgia Southern. His name is Ironhead Gallen. He's a defensive back. Well, actually, he's a safety, a hard-hitting safety. Didn't have the best hands when he was at the regional combine, but he is a lot better, a lot more polished. Showed that he can catch the ball a lot better, a little faster, you know, kind of thinned out a little bit, but he's ready to go to the next level. Deshaun Butler, a guy from Hawaii who was with spent some time in the league with two teams, came through the pro player, put in an excellent workout. I'm quite sure that these guys are definitely going to get back on someone's roster, and I'll definitely keep you up to par with that if you continue to go to LockerReport.com, where you will see these guys actually doing their thing in the league real soon. Now, before we go to close, I talked about the disappointment of the workout. And when you go to a workout, you don't want to have no disappointments. And the last thing you want to see are players being receiving the wrong information, not being advised. The issue that I had at this workout was that primarily most of the players on the offense side of the ball did not run the 40. And I know the 40 is a sacred number. It's the number that if it's really good with your speed time, even if you lack in certain areas, if your 40 time is elite, depending on the position that you're playing, especially for the offensive guys, the wide receivers and the running backs and some of the defensive backs, if your number is not there and it's not where you want it to be, the 40 can actually get you into the league. We had a gentleman named Wendell Williams a couple of years ago that came to the recent combine that went to the University of Cumberland. He ran a 4.19 in Minnesota, and he wound up signing with the Houston Texans. He's not in the league right now. He's a free agent, but I'm quite sure he'll get back in the league because his speed opens up doors, and your 40 time is very important, especially for the 40 day. I mean, for your pro day. So there were players that were walking around before their workout. What should I do? One, the NFL evaluators had overheard, you know, a player saying, what should I do? Should I run it? And the kids didn't run it. And I understand that you had a good time at the pro day. Now, let me mention this. They were told that if they did not want to run a 40, because they had ran a good 40 at a pro day or whatever workout they did, that the league will recognize if they didn't want to run the 40, you don't have to. Now, that's almost equivalent to saying that, hey, you can drive the car and you can put the wheel on there and it is drivable. But they didn't tell you about the lug nuts. Yeah, you can put the wheel on there. The car will still drive. But you still got to put the lug nuts on there. They won't tell you about the lug nuts, but they will tell you, yeah, you can put the wheel in the car. It'll still drive. My point is, these players were at an NFL-held event where all 32 teams was being represented in some form of fashion, primarily scouts. And you want to advise your players not to run the 40 in that environment and say, hey, listen, we want to keep that 40 time that you had done at your pro day, and also or players that had a pro day that were actually looking to get a feel of how the workout was going to be so they could know what to look for at their pro day, where it probably would just be five guys. Now, these guys that was invited, they were not top flight guys. These guys are on a bubble. So when you're on a bubble, you're in an atmosphere like that, you best believe you should run it. And that advice they gave those players, I'm going to tell you right now, the scouts of the NFL were turned off. Now, some of those players who probably was on someone's draft board, I'll guarantee, because I talked to a personnel person from one of the teams who's prominent, and certain players they were looking at will not be on their draft board because they did not run the 40. That 40, they had the opportunity to show their competitiveness, to show them that, yes, I ran the 40, but I'm going to show you what I can do in front of you guys. And to take that chance and not run the 40 was an absolute disgrace. And some of those players will get hurt. I'm not saying these guys won't make it to the NFL, but their chances of getting drafted or how they are looked at definitely had took a hit. And I hope that when next year's workout, that if you're an advisor and you're working out with a player, when they have that workout, please do not tell your guy not to run that 40. I will address this later on in the year before the workout start again and put everyone back on blast. What you did a disservice to your client. If your client fired you because, or if he planned to, that's your fault. Those who advise their players to run the 40, I applaud you. You did so much for your client at that workout. Now, as we're about to come to a close, again, this is Barry Barnes, founder of Locker-Report.com. You're listening to the Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, guys, for tuning in. Like I said, if you have any questions, anything you want to talk about next week, shoot me a message. The Locker. I'll do Barry Bonds at Locker Report. Barry Bonds at locker-report.com. Shoot me an email. Let me know if something you want to address. Next week, I'll talk about more players, what teams need, do these players, and also talk about some of the guys that went to the Canadian League that came through this pathway. Thanks again for tuning in. My name is Barry Bonds. Everyone stay blessed.
And welcome to the Bachelor Pad. We thank you for joining us this evening on the pad. Thanks to the Donaldson Files, Tom Donaldson, Coco Coxley, for the show or previous. We appreciate them being a part of the network. It's L.A. Bachelor with you. We have a power 2 hours of informative and very thought-provocative sort of tragic stuff to talk about in certain discussions. And I want to go to my first guest. She has been fascinating and really investigating human trafficking. And she has uncovered so much all over the planet, if you will, and especially in countries or considered third world or considered other types of places where it'd be state-sponsored human trafficking and otherwise. For the first time on the show, she is Nancy Hartwell. And Ms. Hartwell, we appreciate you coming on the Bachelor Pad.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
I wanted to bring you on because we in this country talk so much about so many things in politics and other issues. But one of the most horrific things that takes place all across the world, and you've done this investigating, I think on your website you said that the sexual exploitation is between 600,000 and 800,000. Kids being not only trafficked but also treated as second-class citizens, as especially when it comes to women, and being abused in so many ways. How did you come across this? What got you, I know, in reading your story, but how did you get involved with this? What was that one thing or that one person or that one situation that really got you to investigate this?
Okay, well, when I was in my 20s, a good friend of mine named Ursula just disappeared. They found her bicycle next to the road, and nobody has ever seen her or heard from her since. And a couple weeks later, we heard rumors that were probably true, that she had been sold to a sultan in Libya. That spooked me so bad, because I thought, holy Toledo, that could have been me. And I started collecting stories, and once people know that you're interested in this topic, you get bombarded with stories. And 45 years later, they finally appeared in a series of three books, my human trafficking series that is available on Amazon.
You know, I wanted to bring home the fact that people take this for granted. I mean, when we're kids, our parents told us, you know, don't go to strangers. You know, you take those precautions. This is going on in some of the corners of the world. It not just in borders like in, you know, in Mexico and here in the U.S. and we have, you know, even prostitution and things of that nature. But you talked about the Taliban. And how they treat and threaten and physically and mentally and verbally abuse women in particular. Talk about that. Is it normal in countries like that or third world countries where sort of state-sponsored, like it's okay with the government, whichever government it is, to allow these things to take place?
Well, in some countries, the government actually promotes it. The Taliban, and by the way, in Arabic, ironically, the word means scholars.
Wow.
They have bombed schools where girls attend. They do not allow women to wear any clothing or shoes that makes any noise whatsoever. If a woman wears perfume, they say that is tantamount to having committed adultery, and it's a capital crime. Women are not supposed to leave home except to run an occasional errand for any reason whatsoever, even to attend things like family weddings. Women are supposed to stay home unseen, unheard, completely subservient to men. There's even one Taliban, quote, scholar, unquote, who says that if a man rapes a non-Muslim woman, she is automatically converted to Islam. I mean, I don't know where they get some of these crazy, crazy, crazy ideas. Mainstream Islam, of course, is embarrassed, but the Taliban have a lot of followers and a lot of support, and in Afghanistan and parts of Pakistan, they are the in charge. So, yeah, and not exactly fun.
We're talking with
Nancy. Oh, and nobody is allowed to listen to any music, even men.
Wow.
Music is detrimental to the soul.
Sarcastically.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I wondered about this is how do they operate? How do traffickers operate? How are they targets? Is there an age group that, you know, in terms of kids that are taken on average, and how can parents kind of protect them maybe above the norm that parents normally do?
Okay, good questions. It's young people who are normally targeted. And by the way, labor slavery is much more prevalent in the world today than sexual slavery, but it doesn't get nearly as much press. And the typical scenario is this. Somebody will go to a poor country or put an ad on an internet where they know that young people like to visit and offer some wonderful opportunity, a great modeling job, or a high-paying job with good benefits so that they'll be able to send money back to their families. The young people, like from poor countries like Somalia and Afghanistan and Pakistan, sign up in droves because they say, yes, this is our salvation. The labor contract says that they will pay for transportation to the site of the job, and that happens. And families give going away parties because they're so happy that their son or daughter will be able to send money back home. Then when they get there, suddenly everything changes. All these promises go up in smoke. They confiscate the travel documents, lock them up, make these people work 18-hour days without pay, and the World Cup is supposed to take place in Qatar on the Persian Gulf in 2022. The facilities are already under construction, and they are being built by slave labor. Conditions are so horrific that they have been averaging a death a day. Where is world outrage here? Nobody knows. That's what we're talking about. These treated like just totally expendable things. Oh dear, that one broke. We'll just have to go get another one. It shocks me that the human race has not advanced beyond this by now, but the State Department, that's not known for being really wild, estimates that worldwide there are more than 30 million people held in slavery or slavery-like conditions on the planet Earth today. This is more than at any other time in human history. Hello, people. This is not a problem that's going away tomorrow. We need to wake up and realize what's going on.
You know, Nancy, I want to. I have another question before I go to my one of my co-hosts, Reggie. What organizations are out there? Are there any kind of sort of covert type of situations to get people out? What is being done around the world about this, or trying to be done?
Okay, well, the State Department comes out with a very interesting study every year, and you can download it for free on the State Department website, by the way, a country-by-country analysis of human trafficking around the world. And they classify the countries in four different tiers. Tier one, where it's a problem that the countries are trying really hard to do something about it. Tier two, where the countries are kind of sort of making an effort. Tier three, where it's a huge problem and the countries are finally waking up to the fact that it's a huge problem. And tier four, where the countries, the governments are actually active participants in human trafficking, like Yemen and ISIS, etc. There are organizations that try to combat this crime, but it is very, very difficult. The Russian mafia is into this big time. They used to just operate in Russia and Eastern Europe, but they noticed that there was a vacuum. And so now their tentacles are everywhere. And these are real professional criminal predators. They know all the tricks, and they are very, very, very hard to bring down. There are crooked customs and immigration officials everywhere. And by the way, a really good-looking blonde, young, can be retailed for more than $100,000 on the Persian Gulf. And as long as somebody's willing to pay those prices, somebody is going to supply the market. And if you have to pay a $10,000 or $15,000 bribe to somebody along the way, hey, that's just part of the cost of doing business.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. That's putting a number on a human is just, you know, it just is beyond me to that actually, you know, you hear about this, but then when you break down the numbers and you expound all the information here, it makes it, it hits home a lot more.
It's really scary. It is really, really scary. I have a picture on my website, by the way. I offer a free 5-part course in modern day slavery and human trafficking. All you have to do is give us your email address and you can download it for free. Picture there of a maid from the Philippines who was, quote, working in Saudi Arabia. And she happened to serve coffee late one morning, so they poured boiling water all over her. She had second-degree burns all over her body, and that picture is on my website. This is how they treat people who are forced into this kind of slavery. It's unimaginable what these people live through. There are some brothels, by the way, where it is so brutal that life expectancy is calculated in weeks. This shocks me. I've written 3 books about it, and I still am totally shocked by these practices, by this total disregard that these are other people, especially women, especially non-Muslims on the Persian Gulf. They are treated like totally, totally expendable objects.
Yeah. We're talking with Nancy J. Hartwell, of course, uncovering human trafficking. You can check out her website, nancyhartwell.com, and the download of the Human Trafficking 101 is there. All the book information is there as well. I want to go to my good friend and colleague, Reggie Howell. I'm sure he's got some questions for you.
Okay.
Yeah, good evening, Nancy. How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you just fine.
First of all, peace and blessings to you in the name of the Creator. God bless you.
Thanks.
For what you're trying to do. So we need to give praise to you and just being a month of the woman.
Honey, I'm not doing nearly enough because the problem keeps getting worse. But anyway, thank you. Thank you for your kind thoughts.
Obviously, you're doing plenty because you're bringing the tension when, like, our government would not. But have you had any death threats against you for exposing these criminals?
I have had some strange things happen to my website, and I think I was hacked. But except for that, praise God, I have not yet been subjected to death threats.
Well, we're definitely going to ask the Creator to put their arms around you. The World Cup soccer a couple of years ago in South America, I'm sure you're familiar with the sex trafficking that went on with there. Could you speak on that?
Oh.
Yeah, we do our homework. We do our homework.
Yeah. Wherever there are big crowds, especially crowds of men, there will be sex trafficking. In the Super Bowl, in any almost any kind of sporting event, there will be human trafficking. There's recently been some action against hotels that have been turning a blind eye to what's been going on. And now some of the former victims are actually suing hotels because they would open the room, a locked room where the women were being kept, and let men in to rape them without ever inquiring, well, wait a minute here, what is going on? Why do these men need to come into this room? What exactly is happening here? They just let them in, and one little ray of good news on this horizon that hardly ever has any good news. It is a very, very difficult crime to counteract, as I've mentioned. It is very, very difficult to help the victims of this crime, even if they have been rescued, because they have been lied to, betrayed, deceived so many times, and usually at a very impressionable age. The average age for girls to be trafficked is like 13 or 14. They don't trust anybody, including people who are generally trying to help them. I used to work with a center in Baltimore that rescued girls off the streets and tried to give them a high school education and some marketable employment skills. They ran an organic garden. They raised chickens, all kinds of cool stuff. But occasionally the girls would even go back to the streets because in a very grotesque way, this is where they found security. It's what they knew. It is very hard to help the victims. But there are organizations all across the country, often faith-based, who do try to help the victims of this crime and try to help combat it. And they're always looking for financial support, for volunteers. And if you find it in your heart to try to help some of these victims, do check out the local organizations, like even Salvation Army often shelters victims of human trafficking on, you know, for on a temporary basis. There are shelters like Porchlight, the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, Polaris. They're always looking for support. So please, please do reach out and help these organizations that are trying to combat this crime.
Thank you for your time. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You asked a few minutes ago what parents can do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, parents, please monitor your kids' social media sites. Do it with them, because you're not trying to set off World War III. Do it with them so that you can turn it into an educational experience rather than a police action. Point out websites that have a lot of red flags, pictures that never in a million years should have been posted on the internet. And you might even soften the blow a little bit more by saying, look, you know this stuff, but you've got this naive friend. You really need to explain to her what might happen if she answers some of these online ads. And what happens if a girl shows up for a great modeling opportunity or a bit part in a movie or to participate in a hot new band? These people go to great lengths to make sure that the interview room, unquote, looks really authentic. And when she comes in, the guy will probably be on a fake phone call pretending like he's organizing the remake of a big holiday Hollywood film, and he's looking for upcoming new stars, anything that would really get a 14-year-old's blood just thrilled, okay? And then he'll ask a question. Honey, do you have time to sit down and chat for a few minutes, or is somebody waiting for you? Now, she's all excited. She hears the first part. Oh, goody, he wants to take me seriously. He wants to talk to me. But what he's really asking is, have you come alone and unprotected? And if she says, oh, no, that's okay, nobody's waiting, then he'll sit down and chat with her for 5 or 10 minutes. Get her so excited she can't stand it. Then he'll say, okay, let me show you the studio. Well, the studio is a closet, and he locks her in. And in a few hours after he calls his contact with the Russian mafia, she'll be drugged and boxed up in a crate labeled some kind of industrial equipment, and she's on her way to a brothel or a harem in the Persian Gulf. Hello. If she says, however, well, my dad, he had to run down to his karate studio down the street, but he'll be back in about 10 minutes. In that case, she will not get, quote, the job, unquote, and she'll go back home to her family. You need to warn your kids about this. Runaways are at extreme risk. Predators are looking for them. They can spot them at 50 yards. They know all the things to say to get the kid to say, oh, thank goodness, somebody who really understands, somebody who's going to help me. Yeah, they'll help you okay for 15 minutes, and then you'll spend the rest of your life paying for it. If you know any kid who's planning to run away from home, please help them find some other solution, because they've got a target on them the size of Brazil.
Before you go, Nancy, and this is certainly something that we want to connect and post on our site too, but before you go, let folks know how they can reach out to you and how they can get your series of books.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Okay. My website is nancyhartwell.com, and my books are available on amazon.com, and also through my website, Harem Slave, the flagship book. By the way, it reached number 7 in all fiction on Amazon. And it has been translated into French, Spanish, and German. You can get them through Amazon.com in translation or in English, either hard copy or electronically, however you wish, or you can get them directly from my website.
Well, we're going to stay in touch. This is definitely something that needs to be, and as Reggie said, needs to be discussed. These traffickers need to be exposed, and it's horrific. I mean, it's just you think in this country, at least, especially, you know, as a parent, you worry. We see shootings in schools and different things like that. So you're worried once your kid leaves the house. We don't think about this, and this is something that people should definitely not only think about but get involved and see those signs, those warning signs. And I would also say, too, that, you know, the Internet was a good thing, but it's also a bad thing because this is where you get these type of things to take place. But as Reggie said, keep doing what you're doing. Keep fighting the fight, and we appreciate you. God bless, and thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you so much for letting me get the word out. I really, really appreciate it. God bless you, too.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.